Hey everyone, Rob B here with Rob D. And this week, we're looking at due diligence and research. Because to put it bluntly, if you're good at this, you've got a really good chance of being a successful property investor. If you don't do this, then you're probably going to fail at some point. It's as simple as that. So in this episode, we speak to an expert that's going to guide you on how to do it best.
Welcome to the Property Podcast. Thank you for joining us. This is the show where we share for free the lessons that we've learned as investors for arranging lots and lots of deals for clients and for running a multi-million pound property fund, which you can find out more about at portfolio.co.uk. But we don't know it all. There are lots of other people in the Property Hub community who have got great expertise, and today's guest is one of them. Mary Osborne is going to be sharing with us how she harnessed her nervousness as an investor and turned it into a pretty robust due diligence process that you'll want to learn from. And in Hub Extra, all the way at the end of the show, we're going to share with you some tips to get more productive use out of your phone. So don't go anywhere and make sure that you are following the show on your favorite podcasting app. So on Apple Podcasts, just hit the little plus button. On Spotify, you can just hit follow and that'll make sure that you get every episode downloaded to your phone.
Now it's time for our news story of the week, Rob, and it's not going to be a popular news story. Now, of course, events of the world are dominating what we see in the press, and some people may have even missed this and probably won't thank us for mentioning it and informing them of what has happened. But interest rates have risen in the UK. The Bank of England have assessed the current situation and decided to give them an uplift.
Yes, the base rate has reached 1%. Who would have thought we'd see something with a 1 in front of it rather than a 0? How many years has it been since that's happened? But we're there. We're back to 1%. That's not a surprise at all. Possibly more interesting, Rob, is that they chose not to go further. The market was pricing in a 0.5% rise rather than the 0.25% we got. There was also some big talk in advance about starting to unwind QE, which they've now said that they're not going to think about doing now, but sort of pushed it down the road a little bit. So it seems like they're backing away a little bit from all this talk of multiple rate rises and monetary tightening and all the rest of it, which is in contrast to what's going on in the US.
Yes, in the US, they did go up a full 0.5%. So their target rate now is between 0.75 and 1%. And that 0.5% rise is the biggest in over 20 years. But inflation in the US is at a 40-year high. To be fair, until I read up on that, I didn't realise that it was been that long since it's been this high in the US. So you can understand why they've pushed that on further. In the UK, it was considered, and three of the Bank of England committee did vote for a 0.5% rise, but they were outvoted and we only got 0.25%. What does all this mean for the UK as a whole? What does it mean for property investors? What's the impact of all this? Well, the quick answer is, if you're on a variable mortgage, your payments have gone up. If you're on a fixed rate mortgage, you don't need to worry. But what will happen with new products? How's this going to impact the economy? And do we need to keep a watch on what's happening in America? Well, that's a lot to cover. But luckily, each and every month, we do our market update on the first Thursday of every month. So make sure you join us for that, because we're going to look at interest rates and do a bit of analysis and give you our points of view of what's happened, but also, more importantly, what we think will happen in the future. Now, you may have noticed on the podcast that we've been proudly updating you on Portfolio. And you know what? With all the time, money and tears we've invested in that project, I think talking about it and giving you a quick update each and every week is okay. We've been podcasting now for over 8 years. We've never missing a week. And we've been proud that we've not had adverts on the show or anything like that. And we feel that giving you a short update each week on the show is useful, because it's property related and it's business related. And we know so many of you are interested in that. And a lot of you have become investors in the group now. So you're very keen to hear what's going on too. So we will each and every week give you a minute update on what is happening, but only if it's interesting and exciting, and only if it's going to benefit the most people listening. Most of it is educational, the updates. So we're not trying to say, you know, join now or buy this or whatever. That's not our style. We just want to update you with what's going on. But we also want to be upfront with you and tell you that's what we're going to do moving forward. Because, Rob, we've upset a couple of people, not a lot. You know, most people are super, super supportive of what we do. But understandably, if someone's listened to something for a long, long time and we introduce a little bit of change, some people can be ruffled by that.
Yeah, I get it, and that's okay. But I think the insights that we're gathering from doing what we're now doing at a bigger scale than we've done before, like, I don't know how to tell you this, we've actually been doing this for over 9 years now. The scale that we're operating at now is so much higher than it ever has been before, which means we're learning more, which means there's more that we can pass on. So I think on the whole, it's positive. Some people are just super sensitive to anything that's even vaguely promotional, but that's all right. We'll just keep it to like a minute or so each week and signpost it and keep it at the same point in the show so you can easily just kind of fast forward straight past it if you don't want to hear it, and that's it.
It is a bit of a shame, though, that we've had a few negative reviews on iTunes recently on the podcast app, because I feel after 9 years to mention something that's like hugely exciting for us and a massive passion project and beyond for us, it feels a shame that some people don't accept the change. So I'm sure most of you are more than accepting of a minute update each week. And if you are and you're still a big fan of the podcast, we'd love to read a few positive reviews because we do read them. So please head to the Apple Podcast app and leave a positive review if you're still loving the show. Because judging by the increasing listening numbers, you obviously are, or you're just very persistent. Either way, we thank you for carrying on engaging with us and joining us, because obviously are gathering a lot of new people all the time, which is amazing. The podcast numbers just go from strength to strength. So it's super cool that so many people are going on this journey with us.
Due diligence might just be one of the most important topics in property. Property has the potential to be great, but there are also so many mistakes that you can make when it comes to investing in property, and due diligence is the way that you avoid most of them. At Property Hub, we have people who spend most of their time working on just this because it is that important. Some people just do the bare minimum, and maybe they get lucky for a while, but they tend to come a cropper in the end. Whereas some are absolute experts at due diligence, and today's guest, Mary Osborne, is certainly one of them.
You might remember Mary from episode 4-8, where she shared her knowledge as a HMO expert. And because that episode was so popular, we wanted to get Mary back on. You may remember that her and her partner, Andrew, are both architects who specialise in HMOs. I think it's also worth noting, hence this episode, that Mary is a self-proclaimed risk-averse investor. And because of that, she absolutely takes due diligence seriously. And for me, I don't care if you are gung-ho or risk-averse. Like Rob's already said, due diligence is the backbone of successful property investment. If you don't do this well, you won't do property investment well. It's as simple as that. So the lessons Mary's about to share are priceless. So we started off by asking Mary, why is due diligence so important to her?
The reason being is because you can go into property investment just thinking, okay, you know, I need to do a bit of research and then I need to kind of come on the other side, gaining a number of properties. But there's a few factors that play very importantly when you're considering research and due diligence. And it's knowing your area, knowing what strategy you're using, who your end user is, and your finance. So if you don't know these four things really well, you could very easily falter. And in property, because you're investing, you're dealing with bigger chunks of money. So getting it right is really, really important. So for example, for us, depending on our strategy, so say we are looking at the kind of HMO strategy, which we look at very often, knowing our area is really important because that's what determines who the end user is. And if you don't have the end user, you don't have supply and demand. In terms of investment and the market, supply and demand is so, so important. Other than your kind of strategy and area and end user, it's your finances. So obviously you're kind of coughing up decent like sums of money. So knowing that that's placed correctly and you can actually pull some money out is really important. There's so many horror stories that hopefully none of our listeners will go through or have been through, where you've got a strategy in mind, but you purchase in the wrong place, you're not able to rent, therefore kind of you're not able to provide a return for yourself, and you can kind of very easily get into a roller coaster of getting in trouble, in the extreme cases kind of going bankrupt or something like that.
Is it a binary process, like yes or no, and your research needs to be exactly spot on, or is there a bit of wiggle room in there?
I think there's always room for flexibility. Because if you overthink something, if you say this is exactly what you want to achieve and you overthink something, then you can have like analysis paralysis, which is what they say. Whereas you investigate something way too much and then you're not able to move on because you're always finding what's not quite right with it. So having a really good balance is a really good idea.
When doing this level of research, you're going to find things that might not be ideal. Are there red flags that would make a deal a definite no?
It always kind of comes back to the strategy, I think, and obviously the supply and demand. So in terms of just understanding, if the demand is there, it's fantastic. If the demand's not there, it's really not a good idea to push a strategy into an area, because you can very quickly get in trouble and you start to make compromises that on the long run you might not be happy about. And for example, going into an area that the prices are low, and I've seen this happen. So people have gone into an area where the prices are low, but the end user isn't quite who they're expecting, or there isn't that end user for the rental amount that they wanted. So the house gets left empty for quite a while. It gets dilapidated, and to the point where previously people have had squatters that they couldn't get rid of, and it's become very difficult for them. So I think kind of really understanding your demands are really important. And if it's not there, don't push it, because it'll become very difficult for you in the long run. And understanding if that strategy works in that area, you really need to understand and know that it works in that area.
What led you to become like a true expert in due diligence? Do you think it's your background in architecture that's helped, or can anyone become a pro?
Absolutely, anyone can master it if you've got enough fear. I think we kind of, me and my other half, make a great team, because he's raring to buy everything at all times, which is brilliant. But then I have to hone them back. For me, it's really important to understand that we have all the backing to understand that this is going to work. And as investors, we always look to pull money back out of a deal rather than actually keeping money in there. Otherwise, we're not developers. We're just parking money and buying a house. So I think absolutely anyone can do it. And the macro, meso and micro criteria is just really good to go by. And trust me, once you start to do it, you absolutely do it once and it becomes second nature. We don't think about how we're doing due diligence anymore at all. We just do it. So yeah, it's pretty straightforward, and it gives you the confidence to go into a deal and be happy of the end result that you're going to get in the end.
What about the research you've done? How can investors be sure it's correct and move forward confidently?
I think speaking to people is really important, and that's the best way to understand whether you're doing something is feasible and it's right if other people are doing it as well, and other people in the property sphere are doing it. So speaking to agents, and specifically speaking to other property investors, so going into those property meetings and things like that, is highly I recommend it. That was the only way we found out. It's like the proof is in the puff, is when other people were talking about investing in those areas, because if they're not new areas, then you're absolutely going to see it. So you're going to see on Rightmove that other people are kind of buying and selling in those areas. They're upping the value of houses in those areas. If you're looking at HMOs, there's HMO availability in those areas. If you're looking at serviced accommodation, you know, you can easily go to Airbnb and have a look at, it's a part of the SA research, is actually going into Airbnb and booking.com and seeing if there's other properties on their Airbnb in that area and if they're getting let out. So, you know, very simple things can be really effective to know that you've done your homework well.
There's some great tools and resources online for doing due diligence, and some come to mind immediately. What are you using to do your research?
You know, don't underestimate creating Excel spreadsheets. Excel spreadsheets have been vital for us to actually. So what you want to do is you want to take the emotion out of it and treat it like a numerical quantitative research, so you can actually assess your results and come up with patterns and understanding of whether it's working or not. So creating these due diligence spreadsheets for yourself, area finding, kind of locating and all that kind of spreadsheets is really important to do. And secondly, Rightmove and Zoopla are brilliant because, like, as soon as you learn a little bit about them, you understand that you can actually preset these things and these programs to actually give you lots of information. And also, if you're looking at HMO's, Spare Room is a fantastic piece of tool to understand and decode where availability of rooms and everything like that. Similarly for service accommodation, Airbnb is brilliant. You can even see what the availability of certain properties are when you actually look at their calendar. So yeah, the best methods to carry out due diligence is actually what's available on the market, which is really good. And then there's actually a few plugins for Rightmove that you can Google that they basically give you previous data on what the house prices used to be. So that's really, really good to understand actually what that exact house price used to be and if it's gone up or down into the market. Also, on Rightmove, now always keep the sold prices ticked on. So sold prices is really good because it gives you an overall market value average of what all the price of houses used to be and they are for the past 12 months or up to 2 years or something like that, not just what's available on the market right now.
And what advice can you offer to new investors or even more seasoned investors to sharpen up things when doing research?
All being said and done, do your due diligence and take it very seriously. Follow the parameters that you feel is very comfortable and appropriate for your strategy. But in doing all of this, please don't get analysis paralysis. If your gut feel tells you this is a good deal, do adjust yourself. Markets always change and you don't always have the same strategy or can do the same strategy in the same area. So be flexible. So for example, for us, the market's very, very high. And we always, with our HMOs, looked at 25% return on investment. But because the market prices are so high, now we are considering 20% return on investment. So be flexible with your criteria. You know, it's always great to do your due diligence, but always kind of consider that there's other ways to work and work a deal.
And finally, we're at the tail end of the pandemic and we found ourselves in a property boom now. Has any of this changed the way that you do your due diligence?
Absolutely, it has, because during the pandemic itself, it was obviously difficult to follow the market trends as normally. So going into when there's a specific lockdown and nobody can kind of leave their houses or move homes, you know, your spare room research becomes really difficult because there's no demand out there, obviously. So it absolutely, obviously always translates into you adjusting what you're doing. So understanding lots of different methods of researching the same thing is really good. And then also, because the house prices, because of the pandemic and the boom, house prices have gone up, it means that the cost prices have gone up. So what we do is we adjust with the times. So instead of sticking to exactly, you know, this is our criteria and this is the only thing that we can do, we start to adjust things. And over time, we know that market trend tends to go up and up and up anyway. So we're quite comfortable to adjust our strategy. So that's why we've been looking at other areas. So you can adjust your location so it can meet the criteria and the due diligence that you've set yourself. And you can also adjust the finances that we were talking about. So, you know, we'd be happier to buy a HMO property with 20% ROI rather than 25% ROI. Understanding that means that instead of 4 years time getting all our money out, it'll be 5 years time getting all our money out. And you know, it's not the end of the world. If it allows us to progress, that's the most important thing.
So much good stuff in there, Rob. What I really like about Mary's approach is that she referred to herself as a scaredy cat, which I don't think is necessarily true. I think she is just, like she says, risk averse. But something that you often see in property is people getting really, really scared about all the things that can go wrong. And as a result, not investing at all and just never quite getting around to it, never having the bravery to finally make a move. But what Mary's done is really harnessed that part of her nature. As a result of being a bit nervous and risk averse, she's found ways to compensate for that by doing some really, really in-depth due diligence. And as a result, she's not just overcome something that could have stopped her investing in the first place, but she's actually going to end up making better investments than almost anyone else will, just because she's taking it so seriously.
And I'm sure it's been one of those episodes where you've been scribbling notes down, because there was a lot of gold in there. And if you haven't, well, then you might want to go back, listen again, and make some notes. But Mary wasn't finished there, and next week she's going to introduce, Rob, a framework that I think people are going to be really excited about, because people love the lessons, but when you're given a framework to work with and you can then implement it like a template, it's going to make due diligence a lot easier for everyone. Because I think most people listening to this are going to agree that due diligence is critical. Doing it is not an optional thing, that you must do it. But then doing it right and doing it well is harder to achieve. So, of course, the lessons from this episode are super valuable. But next week, Mary makes it so much easier for everyone.
Definitely. And like you've heard today, she uses lots of tools that everyone has access to. So you'll definitely want to join us for that episode next week. But we're not quite done for today, because we've just got time for Hub Extra, the part of the show where we give you that little bit more, whether it's a book, a resource, a quote, a hack, something that's going to make your life a little bit better. And we make sure that we back it up with the Hub Extra newsletter that hits the inbox of Property Hub members every Friday morning. And we've talked quite a bit in the past on Hub Extra, Rob, about things involving our mobile phones, because all of us spend so much of our days interacting with them. Anything you can do to get a little bit more productivity out of them is worth doing. And you were telling me just earlier about a feature that I was aware of, but really not made much use of, that seems to be working for you.
Yeah, I seem to talk about my mobile phone a lot and how I use it, because for me, and I think I will use the word unfortunately, it is a big part of my life, and I can't really, or I struggle to get away from it. So I want my mobile phone to add to my life, not take it away, because it can be a huge distraction. So I've talked previously about how I will never allow myself to have more than one game on my phone. Currently, I don't have any, but if I ever do put a game on it, it's only one at a time. I'm very, very selective about the type of apps that I'll put on my phone. I audit my phone to make sure I take stuff off that I'm not using. I organize it in a way that makes it more efficient when I'm in there. I try to put more distracting apps further back so I don't look at them. All these things I've talked about before. But something that I've found really useful recently after doing an audit and removing more apps and more distractions is introducing widgets. Now, widgets you may have heard of, but if you haven't, on the iPhone at least, what you do is you hold your screen down, and in the top left corner, you'll see a plus button. And once you click on that button, you'll see a load of widgets. Now, these widgets are basically visual shortcuts to different apps that you may want to use. The reason I really like this is it gets me focused on the things I want to be focused on. So I have a huge widget on one of my home screens of my calendar. And that, for me, is really important because I live by my calendar. I organize my day by my calendar. It tells me what I should be doing and when. And it really dictates my week. So having that as a big visual on the first screen is super useful. But then on other screens, I have widgets for apps I want to encourage myself to use more. So, like the podcast app. I've got visuals of podcasts that I can listen to. I use the Overcast app, and the widgets for Overcast are really, really good. I've also a widget for Audible. So if I'm going to use my phone, I want to use it to better myself, to learn. So these widgets are encouraging those habits, not using apps that take away my time and might not be as valuable, say like WhatsApp, for example. So you can get really creative with what you use and how you use it. But a nice thing to do, I've found, is at the last page, I've got a big widget for photos, and it updates different photos all the time. So if I ever open my phone and scroll to the back, the final page I will see is a photo, and most of the photos are of my family. So I then get to see a nice picture picture when I pick up the phone. So I'm having more positive interactions with my phone. I know it sounds like I probably really overthink these things, and I probably do, but it's just how my brain works. But I do feel there's some value in here, and I'm sure if you just do a little bit of what I've talked about today, you'll get better use from your phone too.
I like your overthinking. It's cool because you do go into depth and come up with stuff that most other people just wouldn't get around to. Because all these features are there and they can be great, but most people just kind of use the phone how it was set up by default and just don't do all that. So yeah, I think it's well worth taking something away from that. Something that I've used a little bit as well is Shortcuts, which is another feature that's there, but you don't necessarily know about it. And the reason I mention this is you can actually get a Shortcuts widget where you get a block of basically four buttons to press, and you can customize those buttons to do whatever you want them to do. So that's one of the few widgets that I use. One of mine is just called Home, and when I tap that, it opens up Maps, puts in my home address, and starts the route. So wherever I am, I just tap one button and it shows me how to get home. And I'm sure if you get creative, there are lots of other things you can do as well. So that is our Hub Extra this week. Make use of widgets and consider making use of Shortcuts as well.
And make sure you make use of Tuesday's podcast when Ask Rob and Rob will be back. And of course, we'll be back on Thursday with the main event, with a very special episode from Mary where she gives her framework on how to conduct due diligence. So you can follow along as well. So make sure you join us for that one. Until then, take care, have fun. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.